Bonnie knows when you plant something, it keeps on giving. Growing from friend to neighbor to community. Generations of gardeners have trusted Bonnie for fresh, healthy vegetable and herb plants. Rely on Bonnie for quality plants, help, and support. Bonnie, gardening with you since 1918. BonniePlants.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Everybody, welcome to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson, broadcasting to you live from Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Today is a day that I've dedicated to a project very close to my heart, which is getting kids to grow and cook their own food. Joining me in the studio is Diana Rice, a registered dietitian with lots of experience cooking with kids. She's run cooking programs with the YMCA, Spoons Across America, Health Barn USA, Allergic to Salad, which is an adorable name, and Manhattan Youth After School Programs. She is now full-time with the Monday campaigns, focusing on promoting Meatless Monday and Kids Cook Monday, which is what we are going to talk about today. Welcome, Diana.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
And on the phone, joining us from New York City classroom, I believe, is Meredith Hill, a founding faculty member at the Columbia Secondary School for Math, Science, and Engineering, where she has served as grade team leader, English department chair, creative arts program director, sustainability coordinator, bridge to new school coordinator, and school leadership team member. And in 2011, she was awarded the New York City Blackboard Award for Excellence in English Education. She directs the theater program and founded the Columbia Secondary School Community Garden, a grow-to-learn school garden aimed at building students' environmental and agricultural literacy and providing student-grown produce for school lunches and events. And she's one of the authors of Organic Gardening Magazine's Dig, Plant, Grow Guide for Planting Garden Curriculum. Welcome, Meredith.
Thank you.
So, Meredith, I'd like to start with your initiative, if that's okay. Confirm for me, are you in a New York City public school building?
Yes. I'm sitting in my classroom right now.
Are you? Thank you for giving up your prep period, if we've asked you to do that. I am a former middle school teacher myself. I taught middle school math for 4 years in Bed-Stuy.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'm familiar with the crunch. So if you would talk about your initiative, because before we can cook the plants, which is what Diana focuses on, we have to grow the plants. So if you could give us sort of an overview of the Dig, Plant, Grow guide, that would be great.
Great. So Dig, Plant, Grow is a curriculum guide for engaging young people in the natural world. The guide is written for anyone who works with young people, from teachers to parents. And we organize Dig, Plant, Grow into four sections: soil, seeds, plants, and fruits and flowers. Each section starts with an introduction detailing why that component is crucial to gardening and agriculture and really crucial to understanding the natural world, and providing background for educators and teachers to gain or refresh their own understanding of the topic. From there is the dig-in section, giving ideas for activities to explore the topic in the garden, and finally an in-the-classroom section with inspiration for building the topic into curriculum, whether it be in a classroom or even in your own kitchen, if this is being used by parents working with their own children. And then as well as sort of these resources for how to plan a curriculum, we include a list of further reading for young people on all of the topics given: soil, seeds, plants, fruits, and flowers. So the idea behind the curriculum is to inspire readers to develop their own lessons and bring gardening and agriculture to young people of all ages. So Dig, Plant, Grow is available online as a free download from organicgardening.com and accessible to educators, parents, anyone really who works with young people and wants to think about how do I engage them in the garden or just in gardening and food systems curriculum at home.
And what's the most, what do kids react to the most? What's the most, like, eye-opening thing for them?
So from my experience working in my own classroom and working with students in our school garden, I think for the youth that I've interacted with, it's really seeing the power of the natural world and seeing the realities of what it's like to plant a seed and watch that seed turn into a plant that then becomes, grows flowers and then, you know, grows vegetables that the students can then harvest and eat, and seeing the magic behind that process and feeling like, wow, hey, I thought food was this mysterious thing in the grocery store, and I can actually grow it myself. I can be empowered and sort of take action by doing this on my own.
I don't think that ever gets old. I'll tell you, I have a vegetable patch at home, and I'm still as fascinated by a sprouting cucumber out of the ground as I was when I was five. It's
as am I, and certainly teaching this is always a learning experience, and I think that, too, really gets kids to say, they have so many questions that I can't answer, and the answer is, let's go find out, let's research, let's ask people, let's call up friends who are gardeners and see what their answer is. And so, you know, kids be engaging in something where the beauty of it is that we don't have all the answers. Some things we just try and see what happens. So certainly an exciting process on both ends.
I love that. I love it. Okay, and Diana, your initiative is something that's done at home. So after we've gotten the vegetables to grown and gotten them together, can you give us an overview of Kids Cook Mondays?
Yes, definitely. It was so interesting to hear Meredith's introduction of her program, because essentially what we do is then offer the resources that you need to start cooking the things that perhaps you've grown or that students were learning about in a school garden. We actually encourage both educators and home parents in the home environment to just get kids cooking. For parents, which is the focus of our campaign, we provide all the resources you could possibly need to start cooking with your kids on a regular basis. We call our initiative the Kids Cook Monday, because we are an initiative of the Monday campaigns. You may be familiar with Meatless Monday, which is our largest initiative, but we're really excited to see the Kids Cook Monday growing right now. And the reason we are the Monday campaigns is that we have actually researched this concept and found that people are more likely to engage in healthy behaviors on a Monday and to stick with that change if they have done it on a Monday. They're more likely to go to the gym, you know, schedule a doctor's appointment, go Meatless Monday, and now we hope Kids Cook Monday. So what we do for parents, and I'm really excited for the timing of this interview, because I can announce our brand new family dinner date newsletter. What we do is put a new recipe on our site every week, and then, you know, it's not just a recipe site like you might find on any other site of the internet. The recipe is definitely a recipe that's great to cook on a weeknight. It's got maybe 10 or 12 ingredients, all simple stuff that you can find either in your local grocery store or, you know, hopefully you can grab a few ingredients from your backyard, or if nothing else, you could have a little pot of basil growing on the windowsill of your home kitchen that kids just love, you know, love to see. We've got the simple recipe, and then we've got all the tools that you need to cook it, even if you have never cooked before in your life. We have resources on what types of cooking steps are appropriate for different age groups of children. All of our recipes are broken down into what the adult should do as compared to what is an appropriate task for a kid to do, maybe mixing the bowl together or, you know, tearing the leaves off the basil. And now with our new newsletter, The Family Dinner Date, we offer even more tools, which include a cooking tip of the week. So, you know, if you're just starting out cooking, you might not know that you need to smash garlic with the side of a knife in order to get the peel off. You know, you've got to learn that somewhere. So a little tip there, some videos on, you know, how to chop an onion. You know, what it's always related to the recipe. And then the other arm of our campaign is to encourage family dinners, because, you know, of course we want to see kids eating healthy foods, but there are also all of these social benefits that come along from eating regular family dinners, hopefully on a Monday, hopefully other nights of the week as well. Kids who regularly eat dinner with their families, research show they are less likely to try drugs and alcohol. They report feeling more connected to their parents. They perform better in school. And there's even some really recent research that shows that they have healthier body weights, and the parents do as well, the families that spend this time together. So We offer all of those resources on our website, thekidscookmonday.org, which is where you can sign up for the newsletter. And we also have sign up for the newsletter on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kidscookmonday.
Awesome. So these two projects, I feel like, dovetail perfectly with each other because you have the kids, and I feel like getting your parents involved. Meredith, I mean, I feel like one of my first questions for you was, is there stuff in there that parents can do at home and not necessarily have to rely on the classroom environment to do it? But if you can get parents involved, you just plant these, pardon the pun, you plant these seeds of sort of lifelong learning in this journey of like seed to plate. And you grow little reader or little eaters, like you grow responsible people who want to be engaged in the world. And like you were, Diana, you were saying that the benefits are broader than just the getting people to cook more. And Meredith, are you finding the same thing in your work?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the kids, it works both ways. In some capacity, when parents are bringing it home to students, that's when, you know, kids get excited. They say, hey, this is something my project outside of school, something that I'm engaging in for fun. And then on the flip side, when I work with students, often they'll say, hey, this is really cool. Can I bring a seedling home to show my family? Or, hey, I'm learning about compost. I'm going to teach my family to start to compost. And that's something that we've learned at Columbia Secondary School, is that, you know, our middle school kids will take home the lessons they're doing in the classroom or doing in the garden and teach their families to do the same thing. And in many cases, really make some pretty critical lifestyle changes to encourage families to eat farmer market produce, to try growing their own vegetables, to take home what the kids have grown in the garden and say, hey, we need to try to cook this, and here are some ways we could attempt it at home. So certainly, you know, the education coming both from parents to children and from children to parents, depending on where it starts.
One of the most meaningful moments I had as a middle school teacher, I should have known then that I was destined to work in kitchens and be a chef, but at the time, a lot of my curriculum, I just figured out ways to like work food in. And one of the movies that I showed them was Super Size Me. I didn't know that there was a kid-safe version, so I just like fast-forwarded through some of the adult-centric material. But after showing that movie, one of my students came back in and she told me, and it like still makes me emotional. Like, she told me that night it was on HBO and she showed it to her mom, and they spent the weekend cooking for the first time ever. And because she just lived on the, you know, corner McDonald's, it was like McDonald's and Subway and, you know, Burger King. And that was it. That was all they had access to. And she had brought me hummus that they made at home, that they went online and they found a recipe for hummus. And like that sticks with me to this day, as a moment of like, I even if I only changed her for a day, I touched that family.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's sort of each kid finds their connection in their own way, and I think sometimes we see it in those ways, and sometimes I wonder, this kid might not seem that intrigued by this now, but maybe down the road it comes back to them and they make this connection, or they say, hey, that was that thing I learned about, and that's why I'm now reading food labels in the grocery store. So certainly I think it comes in many shapes and forms for kids.
Awesome.
And adults.
So we have to take a quick break. Can both of you stay and answer? We'll talk some more after the break.
Wonderful. Yep.
Sounds great.
Excellent.
Today's music is by Obesity on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, do-it-yourselfer. Ever thought about gardening? If you can build that window box, you can build a raised bed in your backyard. Bonnie veggie and herb plants in raised beds make a fast weekend project with a big payback. fresh, grow-them-yourself tomatoes and peppers, kale, basil and thyme, and so much more. Bonnie plants are healthy and strong and help jumpstart your garden. So get growing. Plans and how-tos at bonnieplants.com.
Welcome back to Sharp and Hot. I am your host, Chef Emily Peterson. With me in studio today is Diana Rice, a registered dietitian and the force behind Kids Cook Mondays, and by phone, Meredith Hill, a New York City public school teacher and one of the authors of Organic Magazine's Dig, Plant, Grow Guide. Welcome back, ladies.
Thank you.
I'm curious if you could both take a couple of sentences to share some of the hurdles that people have approached or sort of pushed back on you with, because I imagine that it's possible that there are people who are listening who are thinking, well, yeah, sure. I mean, if you live in New York City and you have access to all that stuff, it must be really easy. But what am I supposed to do? And I'm curious to know if you could both share an anecdote or, you know, some pushback you've gotten. Diana, if you want to go first.
Sure. Well, definitely, you know, sometimes parents hear Monday and they think, that's the craziest day of the week. I'm going to be so tired when I get home. But, you know, that is the reason why we put up these really well-vetted 10 to 12 ingredient recipes. And, you know, we're not asking you to make a pasta sauce from scratch or even necessarily chop and dice all your own vegetables. I think that's definitely a great thing for kids to learn how to do, maybe on a weekend when you come home from the farmer's market or something like that. But we're all about using frozen vegetables. I mean, I know my freezer is my best friend. I actually have two of them, even though I live in a smaller urban apartment. And there's, you know, there's things like that that you can do. You can, you know, go to the store together on a Saturday afternoon or the farmer's market, come home and prep your ingredients. If you know, our newsletter goes out on Fridays, so if you know that you're going to need diced onions for Monday night's recipe, you know, dice them on Saturday afternoon and put them in a little Tupperware, a mason jar, and, you know, have those on hand so that your meal on Monday night can come together really quickly and the kids can see, you know, how much they helped to make that, you know, and it's a great alternative to ordering takeout or pulling, you know, if you're going to pull something out of the freezer, it might as well be, you know, frozen fresh vegetables instead
and
of
you
a
can
microwave.
You can chop your own vegetables and then freeze them.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Or you can, like, I know that you can buy them pre-chopped at Trader Joe's in a quart container that's equal parts celery, onion, and carrot. It's like $6.
Oh, yeah, I'm such a big fan of those. Yeah.
But it's so much more expensive.
And, you know, that's the great thing about getting the kids in the kitchen is if you get them in the kitchen with our program on Monday night, I guarantee you're going to have them asking, like, hey, can we chop zucchini again? Can we go to the market again? And, you know, you'll end up doing it other days of the week. That's the whole idea. You know,
right.
We certainly want to see families having dinner together more than just Mondays. But the idea is that when you start on Monday, you know, when you commit to the program by signing up for the newsletter and, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't take commitment. It definitely does. But, you know, it's the healthier alternative to, you know, the fast food and processed foods that are the other option, basically.
And Diana, tell me about some of the pushback that you've gotten, either from parents or from schools that you've gotten into.
Do you mean Meredith?
I mean Meredith. You know, I was doing so good. I was doing so good.
You know, I think that there's certainly from kids starting gardening or starting just engaging in the natural world. When I was a first-year teacher, I took my students outside to the park and asked them to sit down on the ground just thinking we would be sitting and reading in a circle, and all of my kids lost their minds saying they couldn't get their pants dirty. And if I sit on the floor, they called it the floor, my pants are going to get dirty. And, you know, it was that learning process to say, hey, that's okay, I am too, and the dirt's totally cool. and really getting kids to be open to learning about the natural world, and I think certainly starting with small steps, to echo what Diana's talking about with the Monday program is, you know, taking those baby steps and saying, well, hey, let's start by planting a single seed. Let's start by raising a plant in the windowsill. Certainly, I think for schools overall and even for families and parents and programs interested in gardening with youth is the question of space and resources. And I think what's important to remember is that gardening can happen anywhere, whether it be on a windowsill, whether it be under grow lights, whether it be in an abandoned park or in a really nice backyard. I think that it's important to know that gardening requires so little so little to start, but then can be brought to so many levels once you get going. And so, you know, not being afraid to say, I don't have what seems like a typical garden, but what can I do? And starting with searching for what resources are out there for your space, whether it's vertical growing in a window, or it's cultivating a backyard garden. And so, you know, really just researching what is in the area, what's in the community, and even New York City as an urban space, gardening is not always the simplest to do, and sometimes we have to get creative, and we're thankful to partners in the city who help us to be able to support a school garden and to be able to, you know, find the resources. So really it's about networking, it's about making connections and seeing what is possible wherever you are growing.
And do you have any social media set up for people who are utilizing your program to interact with each other?
You know, so the program is available on organicgardening.com. It's a downloadable curriculum guide, a free download, or accessible right online with some terrific links to organic gardening resources that are right there, free for everybody. Organic gardening can also be followed on Twitter at OGMag or on Facebook. And then, you know, from there, certainly there is a huge community of interested readers thinking about how do we grow with children, and what does that look like? So those are great places to start.
I hope people like put up pictures of their solutions for like how you grow in a window or how you grow, you know, under grow lights, what that looks like. I mean, I have the space, and what you get in space, you also get in the time commitment and the weeding and all of the other stuff. And so sometimes growing in a small space, especially if you're just getting started, is a whole lot simpler. I find myself tending them like my pot of herbs so much more like lovingly because my vegetable garden becomes so overwhelming. Which I realize is like a, you know, poor me kind of problem, but like, but it's the truth.
And and some of it is knowing that not a garden isn't going to be perfect, and that's something that's really beautiful about working with gardens with kids. And I know at the beginning I started worrying, hey, there are weeds everywhere, or this entire crop just failed, or the kids just, you know, took off the wrong part of the plant when I was teaching them to prune this. And it's okay, and that's part of the learning, is that there's this natural resilience, and there's sort of the beauty of nature creeping into whatever you're growing. So, you know, a lot to be said about being open to a garden in any shape or form.
And the same is true in the kitchen. Like if you you put too much salt in something, like you can almost always rescue it. It's all, you know, like, and that's another teachable thing for kids when they're cooking. Let them. I mean, I told my father, who sometimes calls into the show, God love him, he's one of our regular characters, said, make sure you tell them that you learned that I showed you how to use a chef's knife, and I had you standing on a stool at the counter, which is totally true. Now when I have an 18-month-old, and I let him stir onions in the pan, and like, there's something to be said for teaching kids the skills, but also to teach them resilience and like fixing, you know, like if you knock flour all over the floor, it's not the end of the world. And I wonder like how many people, you know, if the hurdle is they're going to make a mess, or they're going to get dirty, or they're going to, you know, have this sort of experience that's going to take 5 minutes of cleaning up. I want people to get through that and like use the resources that you guys have made so beautiful and free and accessible and readable and charming, and like make a day to just do it and like let your kids get dirt under their nails, or, you know, tomato skins under their nails, whatever it is. And so I'm really thankful for both of you. And I guess for Columbia, I don't know, Meredith, if you know that Diana's program was piloted at Columbia.
Oh, exciting. At the, in what school?
We worked with Pam Cook at Teachers College, and we actually had a like a 6-week pilot where families came into the food lab there, and these were just families from the local area in Harlem, and you know, the parents and the kids were cooking together, and we actually found at the end of the 6 weeks that 73% of the kids were so enthused about the cooking and wanted to go home and do it more often, and that just gave us the fuel we needed to really kick off the program and start encouraging families nationwide to do this, because of, I mean, I'm sure you see this in your gardening program. When you really see the results, when you see a kid try a vegetable for the first time that they thought was so yucky, and they say, oh, this is really good, and they never would have tried it if they hadn't grown it or chopped it or mixed it into whatever you're cooking. I mean, that's what makes it all worth it, and it's good for them. It's good for the health of the public health of our country, you know? This is what this is all about.
Absolutely. Actually, we are likewise partners of Pam Cook and her program, and have worked with some of her students in the nutrition program at Teachers College, as well as bringing our students to the same kitchen classroom in order to be able to harvest and cook what we've grown in the garden, which is actually a couple blocks away. So we probably crossed paths at some point. Without even knowing.
And you absolutely should again. I did a thing in the Bronx. I think it was in the Bronx. And I taught, I used to live in the city, and I taught a lesson on urban farming. And I had all of these pictures of chickens, and I wanted them to understand, the kids to understand, like, this is how you build a coop. This is the requirements of space and water and food and how you take care of them. And the kids, they were teenagers applying for college. They were slightly more sophisticated. They were like, do they fart? It's like, they just ask these questions, and that inspired a different radio show where I had a chicken biologist come on to answer some of these questions that kids ask that I just never would have thought of if I hadn't been around a group of teenagers. Well, anyway, you guys have been absolutely wonderful and charming. Thank you again. I will put up both of the links on sharpandhot.com. They'll be available on heritageradionetwork.org. If you want to say your links one more time, Diana, go ahead.
Definitely. Thekidscookmonday.org, facebook.com/kidscookmonday, and we are also on Twitter @kidscookmonday. It's pretty simple.
And Meredith, go ahead.
Wonderful. The Dig, Plant, Grow curriculum is available as a free download or linked directly to www.organicgardening.com.
Thank you so much. Thank you also to Joanna Varello and Cherry Dumal for helping coordinate everyone's schedules today. It was a feat, and I truly appreciate their help. Thank you to Evan for engineering today's show. I am Emily Peterson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @ChefEmilyP, and visit sharpandhot.com for more information. I will put up the links to both of your programs today. Keep on doing what you're doing. I think it's awesome. If you want to share pictures with me of the kids working in the kitchen or the kids working in the garden, I would be happy to retweet them. I just think it's like seeing kids actually working and doing it just makes everyone's day brighter, because I just love kids so much. I just want to like eat them up. Until next week, everybody, keep playing with fire and knives.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.